From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Once again, we count it a privilege to welcome you to another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. Today, we continue this series of studies in Paul's Epistle to the Romans, messages preached by Dr. Alan Cairns, founder of Let the Bible Speak Radio Ministries. Dr. Cairns will be with us in just a few minutes. First, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought taken from the pen of C.H. Spurgeon, found in his collection called Morning and Evening.
This morning's text comes from Ecclesiastes chapter 10 and verse 7. I have seen servants upon horses, and princes walking as servants upon the earth. Upstarts frequently usurp the highest places, while the truly great pine in obscurity. This is a riddle in providence whose solution will one day gladden the hearts of the upright. But it is so common a fact that none of us should murmur if it should fall to our own lot. When our Lord was upon earth, although He is the Prince of the kings of the earth, yet He walked the footpath of weariness and service as the servant of servants. What wonder is it if His followers, who are princes of the blood, should also be looked down upon as inferior and contemptible persons? The world is upside down, and therefore the first are last, and the last first. See how the servile sons of Satan lord it in the earth. What a high horse they ride! How they lift up their horn on high! Haman is in the court, while Mordecai sits in the gate. David wanders on the mountains, while Saul reigns in state. Elijah is complaining in the cave, while Jezebel is boasting in the palace. Yet who would wish to take the places of the proud rebels, and who, on the other hand, might not envy the despised saints? When the wheel turns, those who are lowest rise, and the highest sink. Patience, then, believer. Eternity will right the wrongs of time. Let us not fall into the error of letting our passions and carnal appetites ride in triumph while our nobler powers walk in the dust. Grace must reign as a prince, and make the members of the body instruments of righteousness. The Holy Spirit loves order, and He therefore sets our powers and faculties in due rank and place, giving the highest room to those spiritual faculties which link us with the great King. Let us not disturb the divine arrangement, but ask for grace that we may keep under our body and bring it into subjection. We were not new created to allow our passions to rule over us, but that we, as kings, may reign in Christ Jesus over the triple kingdom of our spirit, soul, and body, to the glory of God the Father.
Sure.
If you have been blessed by the beautiful sacred music which forms a part of Let the Bible Speak, you may obtain a CD containing a sampling of these Christ-honoring selections. Entitled Our Great Redeemer's Praise, this CD will provide you with nearly an hour of such beloved pieces as Praise My Soul, the King of Heaven, Be Still, My Soul, May the Mind of Christ My Savior, and In Heavenly Love Abiding. These songs are performed by the various musical groups of Bob Jones University in Greenville, South Carolina. This CD is available free of charge to our Let the Bible Speak listeners. To obtain a copy, you may contact us by email, by telephone, or by regular mail. You may call 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Or you may write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Ask for your free copy of Our Great Redeemer's Praise. Call or write for your copy today. As Dr. Cairns continues these studies in the Epistle to the Romans, he comes to chapter 8, verses 28 through 30. Here, the Apostle Paul sets forth what Dr. Cairns describes as the five pillars of Christian knowledge. These are God's eternal election, His loving predestination of a people to be conformed to Christ, His effectual calling of those people, His justification of them through the atoning work of Christ, and their ultimate glorification, their inevitable arrival in heaven. As Dr. Cairns will declare, God's sovereign, eternal, indestructible saving purpose is the foundation of the Christian's peace and assurance. Now, Dr. Cairns will introduce this message called God's Sovereign Purpose.
Returning to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. We're going to read a very brief passage, verse 28, 29, and 30. We're slowly working our way through Romans 8. We're coming to verses 28, 29, 30. We've already looked at verse 28, but to get the whole connection, we read that before we come to verse 29 and 30, which will be our text for this evening. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified, and whom he justified, them he also glorified. Amen. The Lord will add his own blessing to the reading of his word for his own name's sake. According to the prevailing skeptical philosophy of our day, we live in a world of chance, a world of chaos, and it's all leading up to catastrophe. There's no reason for the world to exist. It all came about by chance. I don't want to get off on a tangent right away, but always be very careful of that little phrase, by chance. Because, you see, chance has absolutely no ability or power to cause anything. Logically, there is no such thing as anything happening by chance. When you flip a coin and you say there's a 50-50 chance it'll come heads or tails, really, it's not chance that brings it down one way or the other. There's a certain force behind the flip when you put it in the air. There's a certain force exerted by the pressure of the air, by the strength of the wind, and all those things. So they all get together and they produce the result. But while it's unknown to you and undetermined by you merely, chance itself effects nothing. So it is the greatest load of logical, philosophical nonsense to talk about everything coming about by chance. Especially when you go back to the beginning and say there was a time when there was nothing, and nothing by chance produced something which by chance produced everything. That's crazy. In fact, you really believe that, preach that, I think you should be locked up, for you're dangerous to yourself and everybody else. But that's by the way. The philosophy of our day, it all started from nothing. History has no meaning. And it's not leading anywhere, at least by design. Now, in the midst of all this darkness, Christian truth shines brightly like a beacon light. The Christian stands in this world that to the ungodly means nothing. It's all a meaningless jumble, a chaotic mess, and soon to be a catastrophic mess. The Christian stands here and he says, in him, in Christ, all things hang together. This whole universe coheres in Jesus Christ. He is the one who holds it all in place. And what is happening, while it's undetermined by us and incomprehensible to us is happening because it's in His hand and it's happening according to His will and His plan and His purpose. In the midst of this dark, chaotic world, a Christian can stand and say, we know that all things are working together. Only a Christian really knows that. We know that all things are working together. But a Christian can go further and say, we know that all things are working together for good to them that love God and to them who are the called according to His purpose. So in this world of skepticism, the believer lives with an assured knowledge. Now again, a little meander up a side alley. How often you hear people and they come over as very learned. Interviewers in radio and television love to go down this particular side alley. And they speak of faith as if faith were and knowledge were mutually exclusive. If you believe something, if you receive it by faith, then you can't know it, because faith and knowledge are mutually exclusive. Now let me step back for a moment and say, in every case but that of the Scriptures of truth, they are right. There are people who think they have faith, and it's a false faith because it is based on false information. But when you come to the faith of God's Word, the faith of the Gospel, there is no antithesis or antagonism between faith and knowledge. In fact, as John Calvin long time ago argued, faith is a particular kind of knowledge, and indeed faith is the most perfect kind of knowledge. Because faith is not make-believe. Faith is not screwing up your will to believe. Faith is not coming to some place where you close your eyes, grit your teeth, hope hard enough that you're going to believe. Faith is always a response to a divine revelation. Faith is always, therefore, the reception of what God has said. And I put it to you, when God says it, it doesn't matter who says anything else. It doesn't matter what the circumstances may appear like. It doesn't matter how limited we are in our comprehensive ability. When God says it, that is absolute truth. And when you know what God says, that is knowledge of the highest degree. But we cannot see God. Oh, we know Him. We know Him. Better still, He knows us. We are known by Him. But since we cannot see, and since much of what God says, much of the most important revelation of God has to do with the realm that is not seen, that is not capable of being touched with our hands and our five senses, we're talking about the knowledge of faith. The Christian religion has been called a no-so religion. God says it, and I know it. That's it. So Christians walk in light where the world gropes in darkness. We know. There are certain things that the Bible, the New Testament, states about us knowing, and I'm not going to take the time to go down them tonight. I would strongly recommend, if you want to do a very simple, brief, topical Bible study, that you take your concordance and see the things that the New Testament says we know. We know. Look at them, study them, think about them, and you'll see they cover the whole gamut of your existence. These are the things that really matter. In Romans chapter 8, Paul starts off with the great statement, there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. This is not a whistling in the dark. This is not somebody saying, I hope this is the way it is. I really am screwing up my confidence to make myself believe this is the way it is. No, he says, this is the way it is. There is no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. That's the absolute truth of God. And that's why, as we have already recited from verse 28, he can say, we know that all things are working together for good to them that love God and to them who are the called according to his purpose. We know these things. Now he takes a step further in verses 29 and 30. And he gives us five pillars of divine revelation upon which this knowledge securely stands. We know it, but how do we know it? On what is this knowledge based? On what does a Christian repose his certainty, his security? What's the foundation of it? Well, here in verses 29 and 30, the apostle gives us these five great pillars of divine revelation. And he says, this is what your certainty and security rests upon. When you look at verses 29 and 30, you'll see that it's teaching a wonderful truth. As soon as I announce it, you'll realize for me to do this in one night is a challenge. But when it comes to brevity, I'm always up to the challenge. Fail it every time, mind you, but I'm always up for it. But we will do it tonight, God willing. Look at these verses. Whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them, notice the whom and the them, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. Whom he called, them he also justified. Whom he justified, them he also glorified. Now what he's talking about is this. God's sovereign, eternal, indestructible, saving purpose is the foundation of the Christian's peace and assurance. God's sovereign, eternal, indestructible, saving purpose is the foundation of the Christian's peace and assurance. I said here are five pillars of divine revelation. They are actually five acts. He foreknew. He predestinated. He called. He justified. He glorified. These are five acts. They are five divine acts. Notice that very clearly. There's not a place here for man to get his nose in. There is not the slightest suggestion of any input of man at any level. This starts in eternity and it ends in eternity, and it concentrates on divine action. Now, do not misconstrue this. There are other scriptures which speak of human action, human activity, the human will cooperating with the divine will, and that is in the progress and process of sanctification. But in foreknowing, predestinating, calling, justifying and glorifying, there is no place for the action of man. Throughout the history of theology, there has been this constant tension between those who want to admit what God says here and those who in some way find the doctrine too strong. They want some place for man in these actions. And they propose what is called in theology a synergism, which is simply an English form of two Greek words, which means that you work along with God to produce your own salvation. Whereas in Scripture, these great saving acts are all divine acts, Salvation is of the Lord. He planned it. He purchased it. He applies it. And he brings it to its consummation. Salvation is of the Lord. These are five divine acts. It's what's called monergism. The only energy, the only power that goes in to these things that God is speaking about here is divine power. That means that these five acts are obviously sovereign acts. You'll notice they start in eternity. They start with God. They are not caused by anything in man. They are not a reaction to anything either in man or foreseen to be in man. These are the sovereign acts of God. By sovereign, you mean these are the determinations of one who is absolutely independent of all his creatures, and what he is doing because he wills to do it, and because he wills to do it, that makes it right and true and the best thing to do.
Been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us at 1-864-244-2408. That's 1-864-244-2408. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. This is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.